We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
To talk about the Warriors and the rest of the NBA, which revolves around them, we're really happy to bring in Ethan Sherwood-Strauss from ESPN. He's an NBA writer, and it's always good to have him on the show. Ethan, thanks very much, man. Happy New Year. How you doing?
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing very well. And, you know, it's amazing to see Draymond with a miraculous recovery from the injury, which just shut him down in Denver. And, you know, look, I'm being a little bit of a jackass over this. But, look, this is a team that can really flirt with history. Why rest a guy who isn't in the Tim Duncan, I've got 100,000 miles of tread worn off my tire mode? Do you think Draymond really needed it? He certainly didn't want it.
Yeah, it's funny. Just like Bill Parcells said that winning is a great deodorant, I suppose in this instance, losing is a great healer. And it just healed Draymond up very quickly. I'm on the other side of this. I believe in maintenance. I believe in trying to keep guys as healthy as possible, because maybe I would tilt more towards your side if the Spurs were worse, right? And I would say, go for the record. That's what you should be going for. You're head and shoulders above the league. But with how great they are and the way they preserve their bodies, I think the right move was to rest Draymond and to try to have that long view. I actually think, though, Damon, that you're more of the Luke Walton camp, and this is a philosophical difference between Kerr and Walton. I think Kerr is more of the philosophy of rest and preserve, and Walton, as you told me when I asked, is more of a Phil Jackson guy, which is play through injury, and right now you're seeing Kerr's influence with Draymond resting.
You know, some of the criticism that I hear is, I mean, you want to talk about first world problems when you're criticizing a team for being focused on winning too many regular season games. This is officially uncharted territory for Warrior fan problems here. But chasing the record by some says, well, maybe your eye's really not on the real prize, which is repeating. To me, repeating is a lot easier with home court. And Ethan, you might have to get close to the single season wins record to hold off San Antonio for home court.
That is a great point. I mean, San Antonio, like the Warriors, has not lost at home this season. They are pretty good, and there's a pretty marked difference between how they are at home and how they are away. We saw them lose that series against the Clippers, a series I think a lot of people thought was almost beneath them and just assumed they would win because they were the better team, but without home court, they actually lost in Game 7. So I agree with you, but I also think that you don't want to risk it. You don't want to risk something calamitous happening. And with someone like Draymond, he's an energy player, right? He's somebody who goes all out all the time. He plays through various maladies. He contacted Bob Myers and Steve Kerr at the shoot-around, I think before the Denver game, and said that he couldn't do it. And considering what he pushes himself through, I would certainly be receptive to that message. And I think they made the right call.
116-98 win over the Lakers last night. What'd you think of the receptions Kobe Bryant was given?
Man, you know what? I think it was fun for Jerry West, and that was about Jerry West. And if I was Jerry West, I certainly would like to revel in all the draft picks I had made as the greatest GM in basketball history. But I didn't quite understand it apart from that. I don't understand. I mean, what beyond some battles, as Kobe referenced when he was asked, between himself and Antoine Jameson, those historic battles everybody remembers, what memorable thing happened with Kobe Bryant in that building? I mean, was it the time Andrew Bynum shot a three-pointer? I really can't tell you. So it didn't make a tremendous amount of sense to me, and I kind of am a bit put off. It's not making me incredibly angry, but this idea that Kobe Bryant is having this farewell tour that we're not really seeing for somebody like KG, that we won't see for somebody like Tim Duncan, and as great as Kobe Bryant was, as popular as he was, I think it's kind of self-indulgent that he's making a season about him when he hasn't been great for a while, and I think it's a little bit absurd. But again, I thought it was a good video, and hey, Jerry West gets what he wants because he's great at what he's done.
By the way, I think the world's misinterpreting this. All of his seasons have been about him. This is just the first one where he sucked.
Good point.
Ethan Sherwood-Strauss joining us here. You can follow him on Twitter, at Sherwood-Strauss. If you're not, you don't understand how fun it can be to dork out on everything that is new NBA numbers, new ways to look at this team. And I really think you are like the, you know, the Warriors as a team are peaking best at what they do in a time frame that makes them perfect for the era they're playing in. And I think you are kind of like a media member who's like perfect for the time and era that he's covering, because as the game's evolving, the way we look at the game is evolving. Sabermetrics mean an awful lot to basketball now more than ever before. And I'm wondering, and I thought about you when the Browns hired Paul DePodesta. Do you think that? Do you think that?
Hey, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that one, David.
Right? No, seriously. Do you think that while we continue to study the evolution of this game, we might even see a bold NBA move where they go outside of the basketball circle for a true number cruncher like DePodesta?
I could definitely see that happening. Basketball, it's such a small community. It's a little different from football and also baseball, where you just have more personnel. I think basketball is a very small world, so it's hard to crack it if you don't have the relationships. But it wouldn't shock me. You know, I think we have Tom Haberstroh, who's a writer at ESPN and is definitely deep in the numbers, and he started out writing about baseball, and it wouldn't shock me if then eventually somebody like that transitions to basketball and you just bypass the whole basketball thing. So I could see it happening. I would just be wary of it because we've seen certain experimentations not work out, most notably the ultra numerical experiment in Philadelphia currently with Sam Hinkie. So I could see it happening, but I'm not sure it would work is what I'm saying. I'm actually going rock-headed Neanderthal, old ways, basketball relationships matter, and going against you on this one.
Is there a single move that Bob Myers would consider right now? I mean, obviously, there's nobody in the first eight, you could say the first 10, that he would consider moving coming out of that locker room. Is there any reserve he's thinking of tinkering with? I mean, what would have to be on the other end of his I'm going to make a trade phone for him to even think about picking it up and ruining a team that's got incredible chemistry?
Yeah, he really just has to be pretending that he's working hard right now around the trade deadline, huh? Because I know in talking to him and talking to other people in preseason, they always want to beef up that reserve point guard or reserve shooting guard spot. But since then, I mean, we had the weird circumstance of Brandon Rush just suddenly resurrecting.
Yeah.
And really, who could possibly see that coming? I remember I wrote about it in Portland. He hit 4 3-pointers. He hit 3 3-pointers. In the whole season before that. So suddenly that solves a lot of their problems if he's going to keep playing this way. And it's one of those things where I wonder if it would have happened if not for Harrison Barnes getting hurt, because Rush's season didn't start that well. I just remember in the locker room pregame of the Clipper game, I'm just watching him down like a quarter French fries and starting to think, has he just given up? That might be reading too much into a quarter French fries. I don't know. But then Barnes goes down, and he finds his game and finds his confidence. And for that reason, I don't think that Bob Myers has a whole lot to do. You know, some people have floated the idea of Spates on the market because he hasn't been playing that well. But he's good for team morale, and you don't want to trade him at a moment where he's not playing as well. So I can't really foresee a move that Myers would risk.
No, I can't either. So I'm glad we're on the same page here. I'm thinking, like, who are the three most okay, tinker with upgrading and another team might be interested in? I got Rush, Ian Clark, and Mo Spates. And with the way that Spates is bouncing back here, with the way Rush is playing, like you just said, and I think Ian Clark's like officially too interesting to move on from at all. Like, I want to see that guy play more. We finally got a guy to watch when fourth quarters are out of reach in Ian Clark, right?
I would agree. He was a pest on defense. He always had a great three-point shot, even if it's a very low release point. It looks a little strange. It goes in a lot. You don't want him on the ball too much. You don't want him doing too much with the ball. But he's filled that role well, and he's actually had some moments, unlike pretty much everybody else on the team, he's had some moments of looking really good when Steph Curry isn't in the game. Usually when it comes to reserves, they kind of fall apart without Steph running things and orchestrating things. So I've been very impressed by what Ian Clark has done. And, hey, like Brandon Rush, it's not stuff he showed when he was playing for the Utah Jazz.
I got Warriors and Spurs on the top line, and they're the only two teams there. I got the Cavaliers on the second line all by themselves. They're not quite Warriors-Spurs. Oklahoma City Thunder would be on the line after that, and I'm always hesitant to put the Clippers there. So I'll ask you a Clipper question. Are they going to turn this season into the season where they circle the wagons and finally overachieve? Or will this be the season where they're correctly identified as the classic underachievers and a talented team that should be broken up?
I'm not even sure they're if they're talented enough to be regarded that way. In many ways, they had more stuff in the past, like when they had a young Eric Bledsoe who could become something. But they're so weak on the wing that, you know, the experiments they've done with Mamute and trying to get him to shoot shots and trying to get him to be an offensive presence, it's really difficult to win in the NBA when you just have nothing on the wings. When you're a wing stopper, the guy who guarded James Harden in the playoff series is J.J. Redick. So I think they're just bereft of enough talent to really do it, and combine that with how their dynamic between Blake Griffin and Chris Paul has never been optimal. It's better if you have both guys, but it says something that when one of them is out, the Clippers are fine. It's not exactly a perfect marriage there. So I don't think that they're going to overachieve. I think that the window for them is closed, and I think it's been closed in large part due to Doc Rivers' moves as a GM.
Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago. Do you think they come back from this three-gamer clean? It's going to be tough.
Yeah. You know what? They probably lose in Cleveland. Cleveland is spectacular at home. I believe they've only had one loss on the season. They definitely tuned the Warriors up during the regular season last year when they visited Cleveland. So you probably come away with a loss there. Those are just the odds, but I would give them two wins for the other part of the road trip. And I give myself even odds of still being alive after going into the Midwest in the winter. We'll have to look how that goes.
You'll be okay. Just a lot of cocoa, coffee, and you'll probably put on 10 pounds on the trip for insulation. It's just the way the Midwest feeds
a lot of hot toddies. I'll try that.
Indeed. Thank you, Ethan.
Thanks for having me.
Ethan Sherwood Strauss joining us here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.